Joining us now on the line is our good buddy, the sports professor Rick Haro, as it's time for our golf business and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am not a lawyer, but a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. But the esteemed Rick Haro is a lawyer, and he's also the visiting expert on law at Harvard University on sports law. You can also see him every week on both CNN and ESPN, and you can listen to him right here in his weekly time slot. Good morning, Rick. Happy Sunday to you.
Yes, you can. Happy Sunday to you. And I'm just questioning all of those people on that list. Why aren't I on that list? I guess because I'm somewhere in the ether between a host and a just a guest, right?
But I do want you to know that listeners can log on to thehondaclassic.com and download every golf business and law segment we've had this year as well. So your segments and appearances on the show are also in MP3 format on the Honda Classic
webpage. Including shots at Rooney?
Yeah, I was going to say they might want to do that late at night if they're having trouble sleeping, you know, log on to that.
No, if they have some way where they can kind of cut your answers but keep my questions, that would
now,
be
Rick,
a good way.
I've got to get to some serious business because I got my Sports Illustrated this week, October 13th, and I was disturbed by two things. One initially and then one as I got into it. The first one was the cover with Manny Ramirez, who I can't stand because he's being glorified now, you know, for doing things that a regular baseball player should do, which is, you know, run out ground balls and actually run down balls in the outfield and, you know, do that kind of stuff. And he's getting glorified for just doing the regular stuff. But more disturbing than that, as I get into the magazine on page 18, there's a section called Money Changes Everything. And sports have always been recession-proof, not this time, by David Epstein. And to my great dismay, there's a quote in here that says, sports has always been one of the last industries to take a hit. Sports have a high place among our discretionary spending priorities for corporations and individuals. And a guy named Rick Haro, CEO of Haro Sports Ventures, a consulting firm, is given credit for this. And even more disturbing than all that, the next line, Haro is right, of course. Ouch. Rick,
yeah,
how much did you pay to get this?
Yeah, given credit for the economy or credit for the quote? I'm not sure which one
know.
I want credit for.
Anything that says Haro is now, right, of course.
Well, but here's the question.
Hold on a second. I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure we understand what's going on here. Does that article have a little caption at the top of it that says an advertisement? Because you know some articles that usually look like
Oh, wait. I'm looking. It might say something. Advertisement up here.
If you buy two copies, you get a Popeil's Pocket Fisherman delivered to your home. Right, exactly. It's the classic infomercial. That is on the level. Thank you, Pat, for pointing it out in your own inimitable way. And don't be so surprised about Manny Ramirez and how he's being glorified. Let me take another example. You know that jab stroke you call your putting stroke?
Yes.
If you miss 15 or 16 in a row that you normally do, because that is your Achilles heel, we all understand
yes,
that,
yes.
And you make a couple, then people are going to laud you and compliment you for something that, as you would say, you should be doing anyway.
Yes, but don't you agree with me that he is getting more points, quote unquote, for doing things that most baseball players do? Because in the past he hasn't done these things, and now all of a sudden he's doing them, in my opinion, just because he's with the Dodgers and he's happy for whatever reason to get out of
Boston. He's playing for a contract.
Exactly. So now there was a play, Rick, I think it was in game one, with the Phillies in the National Championship, the National League Championship Series, where basically Pat Burrell hit a line drive out to left field, and Manny took a couple steps. He went for the ball, and he cut it off. So instead of Burrell getting a double, he held him to a single. And Joe Bucker, whoever it was just like, that Manny, that's, you know, now he's playing, like making it into a big deal. I'm like, that's what he's supposed to do. I talked to Russ, and I was like, this is what's driving me nuts. And now Verducci has him on the cover, you know, right in the story. See Manny run and hit and laugh and light up L.A. and isn't everything great? I'm like, this guy is getting – I've never seen a guy skate like he has from a publicity standpoint, from being a complete dog, getting himself kicked out of Boston.
He was loafing in Boston. He was dogging it, no doubt about it.
And now he's getting props for doing stuff he should be doing.
He got himself traded, and now he's playing for a contract in 2009 and beyond.
Russ, you're right. Look at it from the business perspective, and we can all bitch and moan about it. But pre-Manny, the average attendance at Dodger games was about 43,000 and change. Post-Manny, nearly 50. And since he joined the team at the end of July, there have been over $75,000 in total sales of fake Manny dreadlock hair pieces. So, you know, that's important for the Dodger front office. So Manny being Manny has caused the Dodgers to improve the value of their franchise by X. Like it or not, that's the way it is. Pac-Man, let's take Pac-Man for a second. All right, so now we see an article about the Cowboys. Cowboys in this morning's Post, knowing what issues they got with Pac-Man. So now we're going to see some things that happen with him, and is he just being protected by a guy he gets in a fight with, or those
his
are things that you buy with him.
He got in a fight with his own bodyguard.
Right. His bodyguard told him to go home. He didn't want to do it. So
I
that was
it.
The bottom
and Jerry
line.
Jerry Jones at the press conference was talking about it, and he says, we tried to think of every situation. We tried to get a driver for him to drive him to and from practice so he didn't even have to drive. So in the event that he got stopped for a traffic citation, it wouldn't escalate into something worse because he's not driving himself. We got him bodyguards to help him not get in fights with people, but we didn't see this coming. We didn't see him getting in a fight with his own bodyguard.
Yeah. Everything that involves normal human discourse and behavior, you got to protect Pac-Man from, apparently.
Well, Rick, I want to go through three examples, and you tell me if I'm just too old school, too anachronistic, I'm the one that's, you know, not in touch with the way things are going, or if this is ultimately going to be, you know, the downfall of sports. I don't want to generalize it too much, but you've got you mentioned Pac-Man, but I'll go with a teammate of his, Terrell Owens, who I think has a mental illness. I think the guy's nuts, but he's a great player. I'm not going to take anything away from that. But you see it again this year with, you know, now he's all of a sudden found religion, and you know, I just think he's goofy. That's number one.
I think you're right, Pat. For one thing, he needs attention. He craves attention, and he's not happy if he's not getting attention.
That's number one. Number two, you know, we've already talked about Manny. He's another guy that I just think does the wrong things and gets glory. When he starts doing even the most remote good things, it's like almost elevated beyond all the crap that he's done. And then number three, you had a guy in the Olympics, Usain Bolt, who would have won, you know, the 100 meters or whatever it was, like in record time, but it stopped a showboat beforehand and cost himself hundredths of a second on the world record. So now we're like, our goofy way of expressing ourselves here in the United States is now transcending, and we're going it everywhere, and everybody wants to, you know, it's about me more than the record or the playing or whatever it is. And as a sports fan, I love sports, Rick. I know you do, too. But at some point, doesn't this have some kind of a backlash on people? Maybe it doesn't because, like you said, the attendance and everything's up in L.A. But at some point, doesn't this affect, you know, people like myself who like to go to sports? And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go see Manny Ramirez because I don't want to see a guy that has all the talent in the world that he does and chooses to conduct himself on the field for the most part in a way that's detrimental to the game and to himself, really.
If the Dodgers get in the series, which now is a little unlikely, but it's possible, and you have access to tickets, which I know you do, will you not go because Manny's in it?
No. That I would go, but I'm what I'm worried about is him and guys like him, infiltrating other players on the team. You know, like I said, you've seen a guy in Usain Bolt who, other than watching TV or watching the nuts that we have, you know, run around and parade themselves in the flag and everything else, there's no way that guy would know to start showboating unless he was watching our guys do that or, you know, got some inkling from us that's okay to do that, despite the fact that it cost him, you know, an unbelievable world record. Like, he would have broke 9.59 or
right.
Something, they calculated.
He ran 9.69, and he the last 15 meters
yeah,
of the
he stopped
race.
To, right. You know, glory, you know, look at me. All I'm saying is, you're right, Rick, I would still go to them, but at some point, if more players on teams act like that rather than just the occasional Terrell Owens or whatever, if the majority of players start acting like that, and some of them are, I mean, you're getting to the point where all receivers, a lot of running backs, you know, in football, are everything, first down, anything is really glorified, that I do think it's starting to turn people off. I don't know, maybe I'm just getting older and I'm, you know, getting crotchety in my old age or whatever, but I don't know. It just seems to me that, you know, hey, we can take it in an individual type thing, but once it starts
infiltrating
the team,
because more people keep doing it, and it becomes accepted more and more. If it keeps being accepted, more people are going to do it because they're going to say, you know, nothing racial here, but monkey see, monkey do. I mean, you know, players see other people getting away with it, and they say, well, if he's going to act like that, I'm going to act like that as well.
Let me give you some thoughts. First, three of them. First of all, you are old and crotchety, but that doesn't impact this issue. Second is, it's ironic and timely. There's a conference that I'm co-chairing over in London on Wednesday, the International Sports Business Group, and it's 20 of the business leaders in sports, corporate sponsors, the head of the Premier League, and they're supposed to be talking about sportsmanship, but clearly we're going to talk about the economy and what's happening globally and how you sell tickets and sponsorship and the like. But one of the things they're talking about is the passion of the Premier League and fan behavior, and if we think we have some nuts over here, you should see the video that they prepared about the behavior of some of the Premier League
soccer
passion
fans.
Soccer players over there. there, which leads me to the third point, and maybe it gets it back to golf a little bit. It's a fine line between a, quote, vanilla performer who doesn't get an endorsement or a sponsorship because he's boring, and somebody who sets the wrong example as a role model. Now, T.O., Pac-Man, we all have varying degrees of problems with. How about John Daly? John Daly, when he wins at Crooked Stick, is the best thing that happens to golf. He drinks way too much. He had 48 wives. He doesn't care about his image anymore. Now he goes over to Europe, and he's a maverick. Well, isn't that interesting? You compare the same language that people use to describe Daly to the stuff that people use to describe BeWeekly today. And so what's the difference? Well, we hope that BeWeekly doesn't do some of the same stuff that John Daly did. The point is, it's not that far removed from that slippery slope.
Right. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760, speaking with our good buddy, the sports professor Rick Haro, during our Golf Business and Law segment, sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am not a lawyer, but a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. Rick, you make a great point. Obviously, these guys know the more colorful they can be, the more money they're going to make, but it is a fine line. I think it's not as fine as we should make it out to be, though, because I think if you have a good understanding for what's socially acceptable, and if you have a good understanding for what is acceptable behavior, both on and off the field, then, you know, what we're seeing from Terrell Owens and Pac-Man Jones and, you know, John Daly, more so off the course for him than on the course. But, I mean, it's just not acceptable behavior. You know, it's not proper decorum for not only an athlete but a role model. So even though it's a fine line, I don't think it's as fine as we should make it out to be, because I think a lot of the stuff that turns Pat off, and I'm the same way, and I'm 10 years younger than him, so I don't think it's a generational thing. I think it's more a thing of acceptable behavior. What turns us off is really just not acceptable behavior.
Well, I think that's probably true, but the interesting thing that the economy is going to do to this issue, the economy is going to do a whole lot to a whole lot of people. But on this issue, we all now see that corporations are trying to get out of some of these contracts they can do without major downside to them. Some naming, you'll see, some sponsorship, you'll see, some endorsements. And the endorsement contracts that are being entered into now are shorter, they're smaller, and they're easier to terminate. They're easier to get out of. And so what you're going to see is a shakeout of some of the athletes who corporate marketing people perceive don't sell product. What happens? It's the bad behavior. Now, Rooney's not going to buy product, God forbid, that Manny endorses. He may not even go to a game that Manny plays in. So the point is, I think what's going to happen is that there's a little less money to distribute to these athletes. And the one thing that you know is not just an athlete following another one as a role model. He follows another one that's going to bring him to the bank quicker with more cash. And if it means that athletes need to control their behavior to get those endorsement dollars, that's what's going to happen. It's also going to mean that the guys who think it doesn't really matter are going to be on the outside looking in.
Well, Rick, I'll give one more comment on this, and I do want to ask you a question about the economic side of sports. But you know what frustrates me more than anything? I think this is it. It's that these guys are not getting the maximum out of their athletic ability that they could, because they're worried or they're more concerned about their image, or I need to make sure that people notice me, rather than John Daly frustrates the hell out of me because I don't think he's gotten the most out of his game.
Clearly,
Just like Manny, I don't think he's getting the most out of his because he's so goofy about stuff. Terrell Owens the same way. I think it frustrates me more that guys aren't getting the most out of their ability, and that's why the older I get, the actual more I appreciate Tiger Woods, because he's getting the most out of his ability. He's not out partying. He's not out doing goofy stuff. When he's concentrating on golf, he's doing the best he can. That's why I really admire Jack Nicklaus. I think he got the most out of his game, treated it, you know, like a profession. But at the same time, there was a personality there. And that's why I like Jack Nicklaus. I like the way he conducted himself. And that's what frustrates me as a sports observer, is watching guys more concerned with, you know, getting on TV or whatever to do whatever crazy they have to, at the expense sometimes of the actual performance itself. Like, you know, just I'd rather Manny high-fiving a guy during a play to get that on TV or whatever, rather than making the play, getting it in, and then you can high-five everybody once the inning's over. You know, that's the kind of stuff I think
about.
Who are
the best baseball managers you can think about in the last few years, just as an analogy to this? It's not the big names that have tried to be managers all of a sudden. It's the Tony La Russas. It's now the Joe Maddens. They're all the rage. The guys who have appreciated coming up, not being the best ball player in the world, but knowing how to get everything out of their own personal performance and how to motivate teammates. I agree with you. Now, where it goes, I'm not sure, because I don't know if anybody knows. I'd still pay to watch a guy who you marvel at his athletic ability so much that he doesn't have to practice a lot, but he's still out there doing it. I don't think I want to buy his product. I don't think I enjoy his career. And I was just going to agree with you on Tiger that it's an amazing, you know, we don't in our life, we don't realize how lucky we are, I think, of watching someone who we may not ever see around again. You and I have talked about it a lot on Putting Greens, that what would it be like to have been around and watch Babe Ruth play and not, you know, and be able to tell your kid this is the best baseball player maybe that ever lived. And we're doing that with Tiger right now, and one of the reasons is because he's great, and we know that when he hangs it up 5 years from now or 40 years from now after he passes Jack, we know that he got everything out of him that he possibly could have got.
Yeah, exactly. I think Michael Jordan's the same way. He took practice just as seriously as games, and, you know, there's only once-in-a-generation type of players like that. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Our guest has been our good buddy, the sports professor, Rick Haro. It's been our golf, business, and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And, Rick, as always, we're out of time. Great job by you today. Thank you very much. Have a good trip in Europe, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
I'll call you from Valderrama next Sunday. How's that?
Oh, that's impressive. That's all right. Impressive. Talk to you later, Rick. We're coming right back in the PGA National Resort and Spa. Inside the Ropes segment is up next. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic.